I'm going to do the fifth sermon on discernment. So if you'll turn to John chapter 12, verse 34. John 12, 34. The crowd then answered him, Jesus, "We have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. And now how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. Let's pray. Lord, being in darkness, one of the effects of that is not to even realize we're in darkness, when it's spiritual darkness. So, Lord, when we talk about you being the light and coming to shed the light upon us, it is your grace that we are speaking of, your kindness, your initiative, your choice. We thank you for that, Lord. That Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And Lord, we want to focus on that and rejoice in it today. And we pray, Lord, that we would truly worship you as in that capacity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know some of us are older than others, and we might all know about the Jetsons of this group that's here. The Jetsons was a cartoon that I watched growing up, which I liked. You know, Meet George Jetson. And they lived in a push-button world. They would push a button, the dishes would get washed. The food would be cooked. The bed made, the car would be summoned. You didn't even have to get dressed. George Jetson would just push a button and his clothes would be on. On Star Trek, on the Enterprise, you had a replicator. Replicators, you just had to, you know, speak to it or put a card into the machine, and it would make you something that you wanted. Some food, just speak to it. When Radio Shack was open, and they may still be open in some place, but not here, you could buy all kinds of buttons. I bought buttons and switches from Radio Shack. And you could push those buttons, and you can flip those switches. You can buy knobs and turn those knobs. But nothing happens unless they are reaching out to something else. In the factual world, you can't just push a button and have things happen. You have to find a person to help you. If you need wood, you don't talk to the wood, you talk to Mike. At DPU, if your water was bad when David was there, you talk to David, not the water. You have a question about barbecue, and talk to Jerry, not the barbecue. The waitress doesn't bring the food to the table for you to talk to it. She asks you what you want, and then she carries the message. So we have to talk to someone. You have doctors we talk to for our health. Dentists will be talked to soon for me. There are people who do these things, mechanics for fixing your car. There are people that do certain things. Well, for truth and authority and a foundation for life that will stand in the judgment, the only person you can go to for that is Jesus Christ. Well, you can talk to a lot of people about life and about truth and what you think about it. about morals. But the only true foundation for these things that will get you through the judgment is Jesus Christ. I talk to golf balls for years. You get a golf ball, don't go over there, don't go over there, go left. They never listen. Talking to anyone else besides Jesus Christ to cure our most basic problems is useless. And yet people today will worship some God that they imagine will help them on the basis of what they think, not what is actually true. We noted in the corruption after the fall that mankind scattered from the Lord. We see in Genesis how that is, that when we sinned, we scattered. When the generations following the fall played out their time, they scattered. They left the Lord. Holidays are a good example. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. Most people don't do holidays the way they're supposed to be. Memorial Day is for people who've died in service to this country. And we remember their sacrifice. Veterans Day, then, for veterans later on in November, I think. But holidays have become something other than the holiday is intended. We know that about religious holidays, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. They're not about that to this world. They're about the same thing pretty much every holiday. Get together and eat. Do something, you know, party time. Now, to remember the things we should do with them is that we don't do. And the creation sought to worship God via the objects of creation. Romans 1 tells us that. And we looked at that after Matthew 7, where Jesus taught there's only two foundations, rock and sand. If you follow him, you're on the rock. Other things are sand. Romans 1 is all sand because they left the Lord and they were corrupted. They sought meaning and purpose in fleshly indulgences. And people are doing it today. They feel, you know, homosexual. Well, that must that's affirmed as a good thing. So they pursue that. Well, that's what Romans 1 said they pursued. Fleshly indulgences. They were depraved in mind and body. Vile passions. All these things came from leaving the Lord. So they perverted their way. I mentioned golf balls earlier. The original golf ball was like a small, like a ping pong ball. It was smooth. It was hard. It wasn't ping pong ball like made of plastic. It was a hard ball, but it was smooth on the outside. And it didn't go very far. And people began to, when they played golf, and you know, if you hit the ball wrong, you can cut a golf ball. An iron will cut a golf ball. And so they cut the golf ball, and then they found that the cut golf ball went farther because it got aerodynamics on it. That's what the dimples do now when they make them. It causes lift. So the old golf ball wouldn't go far, and then they cut it, it went farther, and so they started cutting it on purpose to make it go farther. It's kind of a illustration of the way the world acts. They sin, and then they sin more. Because they got some pleasure out of that, they do it more, and they pervert their way. And by not pursuing the God of creation, we went farther afield. And that's why we're where we are as a society, far afield. If you miss an exit, which I did the other day, if you miss an exit, you're just a few feet away from the exit when you miss it. But you don't stay a few feet away from it. If you keep going, you get farther and farther away from it. You got to turn around. And the way we went after missing the revelation of God in nature is we just got farther away. After a while, you're looking for another way to carry on. And that's what Romans 1 describes us doing. We felt like we're free when we're out of bounds of God's law, but we're really in bondage. The simple solution to all these things we'll see throughout this study on discernment is Jesus Christ. So let's look first of all at the light of the world. We were talking about songs for today. Cindy and I always get together and we talk about what song matches the sermon. I said, well, we'll do the light of the world is Jesus. You know, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. And she said, do we know that? I said, well, sure we do. And it's not even in the hymn book. It's a way back song from another hymn book I know. But the biblical solution to the problem of sin in this world and its impact is Jesus Christ. Now, there are seven I am sayings in John. There's an eighth, which is the first one, John 4, where he doesn't use the I am, but he is describing himself as though he did. And that would be that he's the water of life with the woman at the well. So Jesus spiritually quenches our thirst that we need for life. It goes on, I'm the bread of life, John 6, 35 and 48. It means he alone is the one who nourishes us and gives us life, spiritual health. This one today, I'll talk about the light of the world, John 8, 12, 9, 5. In John 10, verses 7 and 9, he says, I am the door of the sheep. There's no other door. You can't get into the sheepfold by any other way except through Jesus Christ. So he says, I am the door. He says in John 10 also, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. There's plenty of other shepherds, he said, but they don't care for the sheep. They're hirelings. Jesus alone is the good shepherd. In John 11, 25, he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. At the scene of Lazarus's death, he says, I'm the resurrection and life. So how do you get raised from the dead and have life? Only through Jesus. In John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, this exclusive aspect of Jesus, I am. Of course, we're familiar with the I am of Exodus, where he says his name is I am, which means he's the Lord God. And finally, in John 15, I am the true vine. So if you want to grow, you want to be part of that which nourishes you, gives you life, only Jesus is the true vine. So there's seven I am sayings, eight, practically, without water of life. So the Bible doesn't go just to the problem, but to the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible mentions the problems we have of sin, that we're sinners. The law of God convicts us of sin. That's to make us know our need for a Savior. But the solution is not contained in the sin. It is contained in the person of Jesus Christ. If a person denies Jesus Christ, there's no way they can be saved, because only Jesus can save us. Only Jesus can reverse in this world the corruption of sin. And even then, it won't be perfectly removed, even in his children, until we're with him. But it'll be a whole lot better. Only he does that. The world knows about the consequences of sin. That's all we hear is how bad things are, depending on who's talking. It's never good. There's always bad. You look at the news, it's all bad. And most people talk about bad news to gain something for themselves. Politicians, of course, do it all the time. Things are bad. Even when things are good, well, they're bad because you need us in charge. So we know about the consequences of sin. We saw it this past week with the school shooting in Texas. Terrible, awful, murderous act by a murdering 18-year-old. 21 people dead, 19 children, two adults, and I heard this morning that one of the teacher's husband died of a heart attack after. So there's an orphan left from this who survived the shooting, but is now orphaned. And so, of course, everybody knows what to do now. There's great unrest in our society and division. And let me just say, it's not a political opinion on my part. It's just an observation that our world loves division. It does not love unifying. And we know that because the devil loves division and destruction. So when someone stands up and says, I'm going to bring us all together, well, you know that's not really what they're going to do. Our leaders hurt us far more than they help us. And that's on purpose. Things are bad in this country in a number of places, not just accidentally, but on purpose. To fulfill a promise to a certain wing of your party or to make you want something else that they'll provide later. There's not really a concern for the well-being of people in this country among our leaders of all stripes. Churches should always be seen as those that stand for the truth. We heard this report that came out about Southern Baptist protecting abusers. A number of pastors were listed as those who've done that. And the Southern Baptist Convention, well, just covered it up, apparently. Schools should be teaching children reading, writing, and arithmetic. Of course, they don't know that anymore because they're teaching them what gender they can be and how different sexualities are just fine. And I read that the school in Loudoun County, Virginia, has been in so much excess of evil. Well, they got a book in the library about how a kid can be a sex worker, 13-year-old. The librarian thought it was a fitting thing to help that person feel like they belonged if they actually were a sex worker. It's so wild, you can't even imagine. So it's a troublesome time. Families are running themselves instead of being led into godliness by their parents, a father taking charge of the home. It's destruction and disunity and division and evil. And the devil loves that. And all who are on the devil's side love that too. And sin exacts a terrible toll. And so Jesus proclaimed, and look at this. This I am saying where he says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Of course, after he left, what he said in the world remains, he's the light of the world. You want to find out how to live, what to do, what's good, what's bad? Jesus illuminates us to that. How do you do this? Well, Jesus is the light of the world. How should I live? What should my commitment be? How should I carry myself in this world? Should I lie and cheat and steal, or should I do something else? Well, Jesus is the solution for that question. Now, a politician claims to have a solution for every single problem of sin. Politicians generally, I don't want to overgeneralize, but I'm not far from the truth if I say this, that they never really improve anything. We have systems now that spread sin more. You know, if you have a child out of wedlock, you get money. If you get married, you don't. Who thought that up? Not Jesus Christ. Politicians want more laws, less guns, more taxes, more spending, more inclusiveness, less freedom, less fossil fuels, more green energy, more censorship, and less Republicans. There's all kinds of suggestions about how to make things better. What makes things better? Are they the light of the world? Does anyone say, anyone of any sense say, well, I need to find out how to live. I'm going to contact my congressman. Really? Plus, the whole world mounts a multi-front assault on whatever they think is the problem from multi-players with different ideas so that they don't know what to do. If you look for advice of how to live from people in this world, you'll get as many people in the world will give you varying different answers, radically different, because they are not the light of the world. To be the light of the world means that you're the personification of what is right and what we should do. What you are, and the Lord Jesus is this, what he is shows us how we are to live. He's the model. None in this world can claim to be the solution for our problems. And most of the claims are false, even on the most narrow scale. John 3:19 says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Men love to remain in darkness. They don't want the light to cast any kind of light upon their sin. So they love darkness. If you love darkness, you don't have to repent. You don't have to change. Matthew 6:23 says that if the light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? People today think they're in the light and they're in darkness. And so the darkness is even worse because they don't even know they're in the dark. You're defusing a bomb and you got the wrong instructions and you think they're right. Not only are you in darkness, you're really in darkness because the consequences are going to be fatal to you. Jesus is the light of the world. Our home, like your home, has a number of lights. We have localized lights. I've got several lights in here in my office, several lights in the living room, bedroom. You've got different lights. You've got more than one light because one light won't cover the whole house. We need extra lights. I got a light out here on the pole. There's another light down the street on another pole, and another one down there on another pole. If you look out at night, they got lights in the houses across the road. Because there's not one light that can cover all of that. Well, Jesus, being the light of the world, the whole expression is that he illumines the whole world with his one light. He's the one true light. But men love darkness rather than light. They think they're in the light. All the people proposing all different manner of anti-biblical suggestions today, they think that they're enlightened. The word is for one segment of the population is they're woke. woke is a term that started back in with blacks and racism, and they used woke as a means of, you know, not being taken advantage of. They're woke. Well, it's blended now into, you know, transgender, homosexual, LGBTQ plus, all the, you know, environmental things, green energy, all this stuff. It's under the blanket of being woke. If you want to be wrong and have a label for it, woke pretty much will cover it. And when they say they're woke, it means that they have become enlightened. They see things now. Who's not woke? Well, we aren't, because we don't see things like they do. Thank God for that. But Jesus is the light of the world. One place for everything. If we go out and get things, all of us are this way. You need groceries, go to the grocery store. You need to go to the bank, go to the bank. Get a haircut at the barbershop or beauty shop. And you know, you got different stores. You got Walmart and you know, other stores that you might go to, the mall, Lowe's, whatever. There's not one place that sells everything. But with Jesus being the light of the world, there's no other place to go. And that doesn't limit us. That shows us where the light is. Everything Jesus says and everything Jesus does as an example to us how to live is light. It means it's the way it is and should be, and it illuminates us as to what to do. God's word is a light into a lamp into our feet, a light into our path. It shows us what we're supposed to do. Now, we're used to that. We're used to living like that. Because we've been in church and we have insight in the Word of God that others don't have. But think about all these people who are looking for meaning and purpose in their life, and it changes from, I mean, not even generation to generation, but from within a generation it changes to what is the most noble way to live. And in our lives, we look back and find out things that used to be ignoble, then became noble, then they became ignoble again, and then on back and forth it goes. And if you're in the world, you don't know what to do. It's like you're on a merry-go-round. You get off, you don't know what side you came off on, and you're dizzy. And they won't come to the light because their deeds are evil. Jesus alone is the light of the world. But secondly, the darkness of the world. Discernment, which is the study we're in, is not only about doing the right thing and finding the right thing, but also what is the best thing. And how can the best thing be pursued and known while we are in darkness? If you are blind, you cannot lead people in the proper way. Colossians 1:13 says that Jesus transferred us from the domain of darkness, and that is the world. The world is the domain of darkness. The world stumbles along and doesn't have any idea what to do. And in our text, Jesus speaks about, you know, if you want, you've got the light, you better take advantage of it. Because, you know, the light shines in the darkness. And the whole world is in the domain of darkness. Jesus is the only path. You look at our text or our chapter up a few verses. John, or down a few verses, 46. John 12:46, Jesus said, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Not remain in darkness. Wait a minute now. Just like the Jews, remember they said the last time, I'm not in bondage to anybody. I'm not in bondage. What are you talking about? The Son will set you free. The truth will set you free. Oh, no, no. Of course you are. If you don't come to Jesus and his light, you remain in darkness. Doesn't mean you feel it, but it is certainly the same. You're still in darkness. Can you envision what changes will take place in our world immediately if everyone had light from Jesus Christ instead of darkness? Well, you can tell they don't, of course. But what if everyone was enlightened in the same way through the light of Jesus Christ? What a different world this would be. And it would be a great, great, great world. If you're trying to find something in the dark, you think you know where it is. You don't need to turn the light on. And you go over there and you reach for where you think it is. Well, it's not there. So then you grope around a little bit. It's not there. I'm going to go ahead and turn the light on. And then you see it. It's perfectly clear then. You can't be sure of anything as to where it is until the light shines. Our text says, verse 35, those who walk in darkness do not know where they are going. Again, it doesn't say that they just don't feel that they feel like they're okay is okay, but that they don't know where they're going, even if they think they know where they're going. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. If you fall into a ditch, you'll do that in the dark more than any other time. So to walk, to live, to choose, to bring good to those you love, you've got to walk in the light. Understanding, wisdom is our friend. But they're walking. People in our world are walking and living their lives and moving in a certain direction. And they mindlessly step into all manner of evil, unknowingly. And they believe probably that it's a good choice. All the while thinking they're in the light. One thing that's been popular for a long time is people defining truth and discernment on the basis of themselves. To me, this is the best way. To me, this means this in the Bible. Just they make it based on them being the light. They're not the light. We're not the light. We can't say rightly, to me, this means, unless we're saying it to me, it means this because Jesus said it and I accept what he said. There's no power of opinion that makes us be in the light. Well, thirdly, walk in the light. And this is the point Jesus makes in this passage. Now, in verse 34, Jesus mentioned, or they ask a question. We have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? So Jesus just said that he was going to be lifted up. Now, if you look up to verse 27 above our text, Jesus said, now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Now he's at the hour, approaching the hour of the crucifixion. So his soul is troubled. He's about to bear the sins of all the world and see the Father's back, and the Lord will forsake him for a moment while he bears the sins of the world and pays for them. So he says, my soul is become troubled. But what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Should I ask you, Lord, to get me out of this death and alienation from you for a moment and bearing the sins of the world? Well, that's why I came. Why would I ask that? But it's troubling to me. So he prayed instead, Father, verse 28, glorify your name. And a voice came out of heaven. I both glorified it and will glorify it again. And they heard that. At least the sound. Verse 29 says the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel has spoken to him. But Jesus said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. This is for your benefit. Now judgment, verse 31, is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Okay, so the Father, as he did at the baptism, as he did at the transfiguration, says to Jesus in a voice that was heard, sound was heard, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Pointing to Jesus as the way to God. And his person, the key to life. And so Jesus said, judgment has come upon the world and this. And the ruler of this world, the devil, will be cast out. So this is something people in the world need to know. And so you've been hanging on to the world all this time, and you think it's going to work out. And then a voice comes from heaven saying, I glorified your name, and I will glorify it again. And so you better listen to this man, because the world that you're hoping in is about to fall under judgment, and the prince of the world, the ruler of the world, is going to be cast out, defeated. And he says, if I am lifted up from the earth, verse 32, I will draw all men to myself. And this was verse 33 says, he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die, being lifted up on the cross. So that's why in verse 34, they asked the question, well, wait a minute. And of course, the crowds always knew more than Jesus about things like spiritual. How can you say that you're going to be lifted up if what we heard was that the Christ lived forever? So you can't be lifted up. Now, they had a moment here of getting the truth. After Jesus said these things, our text says in verse 36, he went away and hid himself from them. Now, they had it for this moment. They better get it now. So they thought, from what they understood, that what Jesus was saying was not right. No, it can't be that way, because we've heard this other thing, you see, so we can't take what you say and go with that. It'd be like me arguing with a mechanic. I have no idea how to fix a car. And so in verse 35, Jesus says, exhortation, a command, instruction, a direction to them. Was for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. Our world believes, first of all, that it's right. And secondly, that if it's not right, it's got plenty of time to fix that later. When you talk to people about Jesus Christ and they have no conviction of their sin, they have no desire to change, they got time. They got all the time in the world. Jesus says, walk in the light while you have the light. I got a little flashlight sometimes. You know, it's got batteries in it, and sometimes the battery goes dead. It gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and it gets to a point where you say, well, if I'm going to use this flashlight and I need it right now, I better look fast for what I'm looking for with it, because it's going to go out. This was the end of Jesus's life, coming up onto the cross before he would be raised. And he says, while you have the light, walk in the light. You can't presume on the light. People presume all the time. God will, he'll keep calling me until I come, or he'll forgive me. I've got plenty of time. Everybody's got plenty of time. It doesn't take long. When they rejected natural revelation in Romans 1, they were gone the next day, way down the road. Discernment is a choice you make on an absolute standard. So as soon as you see the light, turn toward it. Run to it. Stay in it. It won't ever become darkness, and going somewhere else will never be light. Otherwise, he says, darkness will overtake you. When I was growing up, my cousin would come over from Hickory, and we would gather. A lot of people would gather at my grandparents near Triumph. And we'd play, you know, kids used to play outdoors, didn't have phones to play on. We'd go out there and play, you know, in the afternoon, and we'd all get together and we'd eat or whatever. And we would, and the adults would play cards in the kitchen, and we'd be out running around doing whatever kids do. Well, longer we were out there, it was summertime, but the longer we were out there, the darker it got. I remember many times where it just got to where whatever we were doing, you could not do it anymore. Even with young eyes adjusting to the dark, you could not do it anymore. But Jesus says, you better do what you need to do while you have the light. Walk in the light while you have the light. The world's obsessed with getting you one step away from the truth and the light. You'll see it all the time. They want a compromise. They want one little compromise to get you moving in that direction. And it is such a dangerous move when you go that way that you just plunge from there. You see what happens to so many after that one step. They were close. They make that one step, and the next year you sit there, it's just so far away from the truth. As soon as you see the light, turn toward it and stay in it and don't move from it. The Bible even speaks in Matthew 22:13 of an outer darkness. The darkness in this world when we are judged as sinners before God without Christ. We go into the outer darkness, it's called. Even darker, worse than what we have here. And verse 36 says, believe in the light. Walk in the light, believe in the light. One, and the other goes together. Believe in Jesus while you have Jesus to believe in, while you know something about him, when you hear of him. Today is the day of salvation. And for the bulk of people, when Jesus died, they remained in darkness. They didn't act upon the light they had while he was headed to the cross. So they just forgot it. Believing in Jesus, our text says, makes us sons of the light. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. Sons of light is a figure of speech saying that we are connected by family ties to the light. We are of the nature of light. Light is like our father, and the sons are those who follow the light. And Jesus, of course, is the light. So we're really saying that we become a son of God through Jesus Christ. And we act in the light. Christians act in the light. You should never hear Christians saying in favor of the new morality. You should never get that, because we're in the light. That is what Jesus provides for us. Nobody else. So to be discerning, to live in discernment, you've got to live in the light. The only light there is Jesus Christ. And believing in him makes you a son of light. Well, if you don't believe in Jesus, what do we see people believing in? Colleges, media, politicians, your friends' opinions, books that people write. It's after work or later at night, and you need a ride. You got someone who can give you a ride, and they say, "I'll give you a ride home." But they say there's one problem, and I don't think it's a big problem. But they say, "I'm just going to tell you so you know, is that my headlights don't work. So I think it'll be fine. But just so you know, I'll take you home at night, but my headlights don't work. I'll probably be able to see fine, but my headlights don't work." What do you say? "Yeah, I'm sure it'll work." I mean, yeah, just wait for somebody with lights. People won't even buy a toaster today without reviews on which is the best one. Get the light. And that is Jesus Christ. God doesn't care about other religions in a favorable way. He doesn't care that you are faithful to a false God. I mean, he cares in judgment, but he doesn't care for righteousness. It doesn't move him. When you throw your baby in the Ganges River to sacrifice to a false God, God doesn't take any glory in that. These are things that are in darkness, thinking you can be this and live, and you're in darkness. Jesus Christ, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And we're to walk in it, believe in it, and of course, benefit from it and not walk in darkness. Let's pray. Lord, how good you are to tell us what is true, what is false. And Lord, that we are naturally in darkness. Without you, we are stumbling. And it's very easy to see the many various different morality that is being proclaimed today is made from a darkness. It seems right. There's a way that seems right to a man. The end of that way is the way of death. So Lord, we pray for us ourselves that we will be children of the light, and that also that we would spread that light, that we ourselves also are a light in this world, not the light that you are. But Lord, when we reflect you, we reflect the true light. May we do so faithfully by your power, in Jesus' name. Amen.